they were told that it was inadvisable, first of all, to settle there. Long-term chronic exposure to the radiation levels on Runnet should be avoided, as should any long-term exposure, unnecessary exposure to radiation. We had done, with their knowledge ahead of time, we had done everything to confine the sources of radiation that would be left behind to that one island. And even on that island, to bury them, cover them up with concrete, to reduce the exposure that people might get by inadvertent visits. You know, if guys are out fishing and their boat starts to sink, they got to go to shore. And they do. So we had that in mind as we suggested the ways that DNA should protect Runnet from the people or vice versa. Well known to everyone in the Trust Territory Administration, to the Marshall Islands government, to the council, to the Eniwetok Council. And we took selected people on a visit to point out to them where and why there were hazards, and that these hazards were not something that we could have removed and still gotten them back when they wanted to go back. You had to pick up Runnet and take it somewhere else to do that. So I think they were fully aware of that. Their leadership was, for sure, and I think most of the people were too. They believed us and they trusted us. Some of the other northern islands we recommended they not grow crops on and not camp overnight. Let it settle down for a while and we will come back, or we will see to it that someone comes back and makes measurements periodically to see that your casual visits are okay. Come up and land on Enjibi and go fishing. That's all right. Goodness, I fished from Enjibi for years. So did EMBL people. And we didn't have any protective clothing. We knew that the exposure that we'd get would be external exposure and minimal. But it's quite a different thing when you're telling people, here is your home, you have it back now, you make the rules. Well, unless we were willing to have some kind of monitoring of the people and some kind of periodic examinations of them, we didn't feel that would be a responsible thing to do. So we did give them some suggestions, but the suggestions became rules published by their council. And people knew. There's no question in my mind that there are guys who will go off in the middle of the night and go up there and have a fish fry overnight. Well, I didn't think that we could do very much about that, nor should we. We did have an obligation to let them know the consequences if they ignore completely what they've been told. But we would certainly have said, I would have said, if you have your own experts who come here and say that that rule we've suggested to you is nonsense, by all means, if you accept the expert, follow the expert's advice. I suppose the most significant thing that I would have to say, the greatest privilege I had in 42 years of federal service, was to be instrumental in improving the lot of the people of Eniwetok and Bikini. We didn't do as much as I would have hoped, but we probably did as much as I had any right to expect. And yes, we did things that were foolish. Yes, we made mistakes. In retrospect, we could have done things differently in detail, but I think that we have been a responsible power in the world in that situation. If I had not thought that all along, I guess I couldn't have continued for so long. But I really have felt gratified by the 15 or so years of my life that I left there. And that's been a privilege.